Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Mm-hmm. Hope y'all are having a great morning out there. We appreciate you. We're going to have some fun this week. We got a lot of great things in store. We're going to have some guests joining us. Our great co-hosts will be here. And, of course, all of you. And we got some good stuff going on today.
We do.
We have a couple of fun topics for you we're going to get into. First, the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk popes and baseball. We are going to...
Love it.
Allergy Awareness Month, the 10 best and worst cities for allergies.
Oh, interesting.
Got okay. that one. Yeah. A couple of other fun things. It is a Monday, so usually we have a Kitchens Open. Well, we have a Kitchens Open at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. We'll have a Best Of today.
Today, Best Of, yep.
And we got, you know, if you may have noticed, that Brittany wasn't with us this morning. She'll be back tomorrow, everybody.
Melissa's not here. What El Cafe doesn't work. What's going on? Why are we still working, dude? What's up? What's up with that?
I'm starting to feel like, we definitely drew the short straw. I don't know what happened and how that happened. I'm not even sure when it happened, but it definitely happened.
Yes.
So we're going to have some fun. But one real quick programming thing. We are moving our WFHR FM antenna to a new location today. The new location is going to be a cool spot. It's going to help us.
Expand our range for sure. Yes.
Yeah. While not taking away from any of the range we've already had.
Exactly.
Which is pretty cool. We're very excited about this. But this will mean that our FM is shut down. You may know that by not being able to catch us on
FM right now. Nope. If you turn it on there, you will 97.5, you'll hear nothing but static right now because they are actively working on that change right now.
So this sort of, I've been thinking about it all weekend. And I did not get a chance to send this to Chuck, but I feel like this is a bit of an old school, Monday morning show.
Yeah, there you go.
How we used to be, where we were just on AM 1320.
That's right. So we're on AM. We're also on streaming, of course, on the Civic Media app. So we're in a couple of places, just no FM today. So if you have someone who's like, where's our radio? What happened? I don't get the morning show. Just let them know that it's still out there, just not in the FM. And hopefully that'll be wrapped up by this afternoon. So
yeah, that's the plan. Yep. We should be back at our regular things tomorrow.
Regularly
scheduled program is what I was going to say, and I knew that didn't work. But darn you, TV. Oh, you warped my poor little brain.
Warped your brain.
We're hoping all mothers had great Mom's Day yesterday.
Yes.
I hope you all did. I certainly hope Beth did and your mom did and everything.
Yeah.
And had just a little bit of Mother's Day stuff left over from the weekend.
Okay, that's all right.
And because we were all raised by great moms, we don't waste. We don't waste.
If we can serve. We don't waste stuff.
If we have content that is still able to be used, while you just dust that off and you use it.
There are kids without content in China. So we need to make sure we use what we have.
We have each state's favorite fictional mom.
Oh, by state?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
But this is a fun one here. So yesterday was about real moms. Today is a little bit more about the fictional moms.
Let's go with fictional moms, yeah.
Fictional moms. Now, I think fictional moms are great for a lot of reasons, but I brought this up with my mom, and she said the first thing out of her mouth, oh, I could relate to so-and-so so well.
Oh, really?
Oh, I could relate. And I hadn't really obviously thought about that as somebody who's not a mom.
Sure.
But understand and respect that I don't get.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that I can empathize with but not get.
Right.
And my mom really rambled about a lot of her favorite TV moms, and especially the idea of, of what it is as a parent. Most good parents don't think they're good parents. I'm not saying that's all good parents or it takes that.
Yeah, but you think more because you tend to focus on the things you do wrong. I mean, all parents make mistakes, of course. And that's maybe what you're focusing on. It's like, oh, man, I totally messed up in this kind of thing. But I think part of it is you're always trying to get better, right? And maybe that helps you be a better parent.
You can inspire to be Harriet from Ozzie and Harriet.
Sure.
While also realizing that you may be more like a modern mom or something like that. And try to avoid being Peggy Bundy. you try to walk all
these lines. An actively bad mom, right? Yeah.
Peggy was a loyal mom.
She was loyal.
She was a good mom. Yep. She loved her kids and everything, but not much of a cook. not much of a mom. Not much of this way the character, you know.
Yep. But
let's see where these moms that we just mentioned, if they rank on here. An online security review website used Google Trends data over the past 12 months to figure out who was the most searched mom from movies and TV shows in every state.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It's a weird... first off, an online security review place. Like, that seems like a weird place
okay,
to get ready
yeah.
and stuff. So, I don't know.
Anyway.
So, Morticia Adams and the Mother of Dragons, Daenerys Targaryen, tied as the most popular in 12 states each.
What?
I wouldn't have seen either one of those coming for very, very different reasons.
Wow.
I would have not thought of Daenerys as a mom.
Yeah, that's interesting as well.
I'm not saying that she isn't. She is the mother of dragons or whatever for people that didn't see Game of Thrones.
Right.
They're talking actual dragons here.
This is not a metaphor. This is like the actual things.
The actual
fictional things.
So I wouldn't have thought of that. Exist. And I would have put Morticia high on my list,
right.
But I wouldn't have thought that just culturally that the show and her and all that was as taken in as much as they are.
Right, right. But man, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
She was on that list that we did the other day too. She was pretty high on TV moms too.
They're followed by Lorelai Gilmore. I hope I'm saying that right. I never saw Gilmore Girls. But Lorelai Gilmore from Gilmore Girls in 10 states. Marge Simpson in 6.
Nice.
Elastigirl from The Incredibles in 4. And Spider-Man's Aunt May in 2.
Oh, hey.
Other mamas that made the list, but in only one state. Sarah Connor from Terminator. Sophia from The Golden Girls. Queen Eleanor from Brave. Lois Griffin from Family Guy, and Renee Perry from Desperate Housewives.
Okay. Ooh, wow. That's a flashback. Blast. Blast from the past on that one. Wow.
So
that's really cool.
Any honorable mentions, any moms you want to mention for that list that you can think of? And anybody out there, please, audience participation. We want to hear from you. You can call or text us.
No June Cleaver anymore. Maybe if we'd have done this like 20 years ago, I think June Cleaver would have appeared on the list.
So they said the last 20 months, right, that they did this survey? The last 12 months of
data. Last 12 months, okay.
So I kind of thought, I feel like that gives you a little bit of understanding that we're not going to see the classics moms.
Right, yeah.
Mom, I think there's a number of classic moms.
Right.
The wonderful mom from Good Times.
Florida. That was Florida, right?
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a number of them, and moms that I can think of and stuff. But I
Florence Henderson, you know?
And the other thing I was surprised by is like the popularity of some older things like Golden Girls. And
that's seeing, true, yes.
You know, Estelle Getty still show up on this list or something like
Which
that.
It was having a weird moment.
Yeah.
Golden Girls, by the way. That's I never thought that one coming. Anyway.
Well, as far as locally, if you're wondering, well, where to Wisconsin? What TV mom did Wisconsin search the most? Which one did they like the most? You are just the same as Illinois, everybody. Marge Simpson.
Oh, see, that totally makes sense.
You got it right, Wisconsin.
Yep.
You got it right. Morticia's a good one.
And
there's some
good.
Other great ones mm-hmm. on here. I love the Sarah Connor thing. Like that. You want to talk about great moms. I mean... That's a pretty good mom.
That's pretty good, you know. The savior giving birth to the savior of humanity, you know, that's not bad. Not bad at all.
Pretty good. But I love the Marge Simpson one on here.
Yep.
Who I because of my Simpsons bias, it doesn't come across right or anything, mm-hmm. but is by far and away the greatest TV mom of all time. Not only the greatest wife with the way that she, everything
oh,
she
Lord.
Has put up with Homer Simpson.
With Homer Simpson.
Every single, like over 40 years, the things that woman has put up with. But everything she's put up with Bart.
Yeah.
And the things that Bart has done. Yes. And still loves that kid. And still backs him and everything. And anything, like everything that Lisa is. It really, like nothing against Homer. He's done certain things. But more so, okay, Lisa's learned what not to do from her dad. But her mom has been just a perfect...
Right.
Emblem.
I'm with you. Marge is pretty universal because we don't know. I got one for you, though, everyone. This is a very specific fictional mother, okay? The best fictional mother of a show that takes place in Wisconsin, and there's no question who that is, of course, it is Kitty from That 70s Show.
Oh, wow. Nice,
I mean,
nice. Good call.
Seriously. Good call. She was great.
And I know good call.
That show hasn't aged very well, but mm-hmm. man, she was a great Wisconsin mom, specifically. She did a great job with that.
Great call. I could listen to her laugh on a loop over and over and over. I want
Deborah Rupp, man. She was amazing. She's an amazing actor.
I want Red's grump, like, or whatever, yeah, followed by that. I want that just over and over.
Awesome.
I actually enjoyed that the most on that show, those two characters.
Those two, yeah, more than
by
the kids.
Far and away.
I'm totally with you
by
on that.
Far and away. Yes. That's a great one.
Yep.
I would like an honorable mention of the mom from the Peanuts.
But they're all the same. All the adults are the same, yes, on Peanuts. Yeah, so it's hard to differentiate.
They gave a lot of trumpet players a lot of work. It was nice of them. That was very nice. Who is your favorite fictional mom? Let us know, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. You can text it to us or call us up through the Civic Media app. We would love to hear it.
Yes, we would.
Also wanted to get to this mom and son, Seth. That was pretty cool as we're kind of wrapping up some of our Mother's Day
stuff,
conversation here. And I just, had it. So I got a new laptop, everybody. And
it's
nice. Yep. I really appreciate it, but I'm still getting used to it. Here it is.
Okay.
Mother and son to receive graduate degrees together on the same day.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're celebrating here by walking across the stage this past Friday to accept their master's degree from Texas Christian University.
Oh, man.
School announced its first ever graduate-only ceremony on Friday will feature Kyle Fields accepting his master's of liberal arts degree and his mother, Brandy Fields, receiving her executive master of business administration degree.
Wow. Oh, that is so cool.
Quote, sharing this moment with my son is something I never imagined, she says. We've supported each other throughout through late nights and strict deadlines. To walk the stage together, especially on Mother's Day weekend, is an incredible and meaningful moment for our family.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It's got to be a very different college experience.
Well, it's graduate school. I mean, that's part of it, too. So, but that is just, I love the idea of, you know, and it just shows, you know, there's any age. You can go back to school, right?
Yeah.
At any age. Doesn't matter how, you know, how old you are, what you're doing. But I love the idea of them supporting each other while they were going through it. That's really cool.
It immediately reminded me of the Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Oh, good. No, really? Oh, man.
It did immediately.
What's wrong with your brain, man?
And you know what's worse about my brain? It wasn't called Back to School, was it? It couldn't have been called Back to School. That's too sick. No, it's called Back to School. It's called Back to School. Cannibal! He invented the triple flippy or whatever. This is a great movie. I don't care what anybody says. Love Rodney Dangerfield. We will take a time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on mornings at WFHR.
It's a celebration.
All right.
Got to get down. Got to get really down for that one. You heard those boys. It is time to do some celebrating with our great friends at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself tomorrow. When they open their doors, everybody, they'll be back open tomorrow at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. So you got the day to go ahead and think about what you want to order over there tomorrow.
Get ready and get ready to go, and then you'll see their special, and then you'll change your mind.
Follow along with the great, yes, you will. Yeah, because there's so many things you're going to want over there.
Yep.
You go ahead and head on over there tomorrow, everybody, and enjoy. And keep in mind that their Facebook page does a great job of keeping up to date in their specials and all that. Encourage you to follow along with their page. If you don't have a Facebook page, create one just so you can follow El Cafe and keep up to date with those specials and the fun posts that they make. Support our good friends over there, everybody. We'll meet you there at Cafe. Mm-hmm. You're going to be back open tomorrow, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Indeed.
And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Email us at info@WFHR.com, direct message us through our Facebook pages, and call on up.
715-424-2600. I've been giving that number out a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Melissa hasn't been here. Man, slacker. Doing her job.
We appreciate our friends at El Cafe. Visit them today, everybody. And we encourage you to guys get us those birthdays and anniversaries more and more. Thanks so much for doing that. Seth, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. So we can get right into it. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Civic Media's own Henry Bray.
Oh, King Henry. Yes. Happy birthday to you. He is one of the guys down at Richland Center. He's been there for a very long time, and he is a very good salesman.
Yeah. Does a great job. We appreciate you, Henry. Keep up the great work, and a good morning to all of our friends at Richland Center.
Yes, indeed.
Wishing a happy birthday to Melanie Fisher.
Happy birthday, Melanie. Yeah. I almost did Mel. I don't know if that she goes by that. Melanie. Yeah. I'm going to be fair. Okay.
Have a great day, Melanie.
Either enjoy that or it's your fault. You're making me do it. It is me.
You definitely should blame me. And by me, you blame me my father.
Okay. It's a roundabout way.
It's really, yes, it's 100%. And our qualifier today, Alex Sanders.
Alex, congratulations and happy birthday to you.
Wishing you a good one, sir. Enjoy the day. Hope it's a great day for you. We take a look at who you're sharing your birthday with, everybody, celebrity-wise. Mm-hmm. Emily Van Camp is 39. Nicolette on the Fox medical drama The Resident. Sharon Carter in the MCU. Emily Thorne on Revenge.
Yes.
That's a nice career going.
She is, and she is very good. She is very good at playing different roles, but yeah. She's got that core hardness. You know, she can play a little tougher roles, and I like that.
Yeah, The Resident has done well. That's
cool.
Show. From what I've seen ratings wise and stuff, I don't know if it's getting a second season or not, but I know that it did well, and part of it was the people liked her performance.
Yes.
Domhnall Gleeson is 42. Great character actor. General Hux in the Star Wars movies. Played the older brother, Bill Wesley, in the Harry Potter movies.
I didn't know that.
Caleb in the Ex Machia is probably his biggest, I would say probably his role that he had the most lines for or anything like that. He's good.
He is very good, yes.
One of my favorites in the game, Rami Malek, is 44 today.
Ah.
Most people will know him as Freddie Mercury in the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, which won Best Leading Actor for.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Pharaoh in the Night at the Museum movies.
Yep.
He's been in a handful of stuff since. He's had a couple of releases. But I, like a lot of people out there, got to know him from the TV show Mr. Robot, one of the greatest TV shows I've ever seen.
Ooh.
And easily one of the greatest shows ever to deal with mental health. But right as we're getting in the cusp of talking about mental health, Mr. Robot comes out.
That's true.
And him and Christian Slater starred in that show. Mm-hmm. And it's the best acting I've ever seen Christian Slater do. Mm-hmm. And his acting is just phenomenal. It's some of the best TV acting you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Especially on basic cable, where they don't have the ratings that they can get away with, the things they can on an HBO or some of the streaming services. Mm-hmm. Just an important show and a very, very good show. And no other actor could have done that role but him. Great actor. Jason Biggs is 47, Mr. American Pie himself. Hasn't really done much since, though.
No, he's been here and there kind of thing, so.
I haven't really seen him since.
No, I don't know.
Kim Fields is 56. Tootie from Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah.
She was also in Living Single and a couple of other stuff.
Very good.
Great actor. I like Kim Fields.
She's good.
Good actor. Tony Hawk is 57.
Tony Hawk, man. How many bones has that man broken?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
One of the most natural interviewers you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Like, he just is so, he is so not putting on airs. This is who he is. Mm-hmm. And from those first interviews you see of him in a pool with a bunch of his buddies, like Jason Lee and all that, getting interviewed by a local news station asking what these guys were doing, to now, where he just has always been the same guy.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk has also been able to do all this without really, quote, selling out. Like, he's got his name on a video game, all these different things, and you've never heard anything like that about him.
No.
You can make a big argument that we have no X Games or we have so much of this stuff without where Tony Hawk and obviously other skateboarders were, but Tony Hawk was the face of all this.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You need it for something like that. You kind of need a face. Someone who can, you know, you can kind of be shorthand for that industry. And like what you were just saying, I think the reason he became that is because he was such a good interview, because he was, you know, comfortable in front of the camera. And that you can't, I mean, I can't stress how important that is for certain things to be popular like that, because you're right, he was right there in the forefront of any kind of skateboarding culture and all that kind of stuff, and he became almost a household name just because of that.
You know, the likability, it didn't hurt, you know, all that. Anthony Frank Hawk, so that is his real name.
His
Tony
real
Hawk.
Name. It's cool to have a last name of Hawk. I mean, that's not fair, first of all.
They say here in the article, when he was nine, his older brother gave him a used skateboard. By the age of 11, he was competing at a high level. I thought he was younger than that when he got his first skateboard, but nine is still really young.
Still, that's really young for a skateboard,
I thought he was even younger. Yeah. That tells you a lot right there. And it's very similar to when we're talking about Eddie and Alex Van Halen and getting that young and getting a drum and a guitar or something like that.
Yep.
Just impressive, what he is and how much money that man has made and everything.
He's been very smart, too, with how he's done it. So,
and off of an industry and off of a device that most people didn't give the time of day. Most people didn't think much of, other than a little kid's toy.
Or an annoyance, right?
Yeah.
Like, this kid's skateboarding on the sidewalk.
The skateboard was lower than roller skates at one point, and way behind ice skating and some of these things. It certainly wasn't almost every kid. It's not enough that every kid in America had a skateboard. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about. Every kid knew what a skateboard was.
Right.
So that's that. He is a big part of that.
He was, huge absolutely, part of that. Yes.
Stephen Baldwin is 59. Baldwin brother, his daughter is married to Justin Bieber, but Stephen Baldwin, not bad.
Yep.
Emilio Estevez, one of my favorite actors growing up. Loved Emilio Estevez. Breakfast Club, son of Martin Sheen, of course, brother Charlie. A lot of good performances from him.
Yes.
It is lost in the shuffle, but his work as Billy the Kid, he's acting his tail off in those movies. I don't think people are noticing and paying enough attention. He's acting his tail off. You can make the argument it's his best acting. He worked hard on that role.
Yeah.
And was darn good at it.
He's basically retired now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he got kind of tired of the whole thing.
He came back and did another Mighty Ducks movie because and a lot of the people that were a part of it didn't like the way that the last one had ended previously. So they wanted to do kind of a good version or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. He doesn't really work much now.
No.
Ving Rhames is 66.
Oh,
great character actor.
Oh, man. That great voice and now. Man, love Ving Rhames.
Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction, of course, is where we all came to know and love him. But Luther in the Mission Impossible movies, I think, is where you get to see him really in a very, very different light.
Yeah.
I admire them for casting him in that role and for giving him the opportunities he's had. Because everything I've ever seen Ving Rhames in, he's got a shotgun or something. And in that, he's a tech guy. And it's all about his brain and his voice. And his voice.
Yes.
Such a great voice.
The only thing my kids know him for is Arby's commercials. We have the if nothing else, he's got that.
It's a great paycheck.
Yeah, it is.
One half of the most popular duo in all of country music history, or at least the most successful, Kick Brooks is 70 today of Brooks and Dunn. Nobody's won more awards as a duo than those two.
No, they have had an amazing career. And Kick Brooks, by the way, is that his real name?
Yeah,
or is that a nickname?
Good question.
I don't know, but.
Cool. What came first, that name or Kick cereal? I gotta know.
He just liked it so much, they called him that.
Award-winning and amazing actor Gabriel Byrne is 75.
Wow.
Treatment, Usual Suspects, a lot of great performances over the years.
He has jumped. He's popped up in all kinds of different things, and he is a fabulous actor, yes.
Steve Winwood is 77 today.
Oh, man, he went from a prodigy to, that man's career. I mean, absolutely amazing, remarkable career that he had. Wow. Multi-instrumentalist. He can play basically any instrument, in the rock music, thing. And he had big hits in the 80s. Man, he's so good.
What was he, 14 or 16 when
he was 16.
This came out.
Spencer Davis Group, he was 16. I think
16.
When they formed, he was 15. When this came out, he was like 16.
Wow.
That voice.
Yeah.
When you're 16 years old.
Yeah.
That just, what?
The soul in his voice. Oh, my dad said that they nobody could place like him. They couldn't tell what he looked like or anything from just hearing him or anything like that.
Not at all.
Certainly all of that. I love Traffic, one of my favorite bands of all time. I love Traffic. And then the solo career he has.
An amazing solo career, yeah.
Yeah, Higher Love. Back in the High Life Again, all that. Just what a career. What a career.
An arc that was amazing.
A true, lifetime career from such a young age and all that. And then some people no longer with us, like Burt Bacharach, born in this day in 1928. Amazing composer. He's written 70 top 40 hits.
I mean, the man was remarkable. Hey, what the world needs now, man.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
So that, he was right. You're right, Bert.
That's what friends are for. Another mm-hmm. good one. The Look of Love is the one that I love. Yep. That's one of those songs that whenever I don't know what my favorite, maybe Isaac Hayes is my favorite version.
Right.
Anytime I see that song covered, I got to hear it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
The greatest quote machine in all of sports history. Period. I believe this. I will die on this hill. Yogi Berra, born in this day in 1925. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical.
Yeah. He does. One of my all-time favorite quotes from Mr. Berra, as Tony Stengel used to call him, is when people asked him about that, you know, being a quip machine kind of thing, and he was kind of poo-pooing and says, you know, I've not really said half the things I've said.
That's awesome. That's so good. Such a good line. Such a good line.
Oh, Yogi.
The reason I say this so much is that I don't believe that Yogi Berra ever tried to do any of this.
It's just how he was.
Just who he was.
How he
just
talked.
The way he talked.
This is how, you know how he got his nickname, Yogi? Is because people said he just walked like a yogi. Huh. That's how he got it.
Huh.
So, I mean...
Interesting.
He was a fascinating human being. Yeah. He was.
And unfortunately, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but I feel like my dad is screaming in the back of my head to mention that he's also one of the greatest catchers of all time.
Yes.
There is no question about it.
Yeah. He was a tremendous baseball player.
He's always going to be tied for me in the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. George Carlin, born in this day in 1937. Him and Richard Pryor are always going to be tied for me. Carlin, I...
Changed the face comedy. Those two guys. Yep.
They were the rebels and the punk rock of comedy their time. And every single comedian that you and I, our generation, and any generation following that we enjoy, have to thank them because of what they did and how the influence that they've had on all of these comedians from our generation and so forth.
They both started out as normal, straight, you know, straight-laced comedians. Like, they did the normal thing, and they said, no, this is not fulfilling. I want to do what I want to do. And by doing, just stepping out in taking that risk, because it was a big risk for both of them, they succeeded and the rest is history.
George Carlin was set out and did something with comedy that not a lot of people were trying to do and nobody really thought about doing. Mm-hmm. Smart comedy.
Yep.
I'm going to do stuff that is going to make sense and be funny and make a point, but then be exaggerant mm-hmm. on the other end of it. So I'm going to hit you with facts, and then I'm going to hit you with exaggerant.
Yep.
And it's all going to make sense because that's life.
Right.
And
that's what makes it funny. That's what makes it funny.
And you want to talk about an arc of a person's life, going from getting banned by radio stations and TV networks and all these things, to being on PBS as the train guy or whatever.
Guy who would narrate the train stories, right?
The
amazing person,
the bits of acting he did, whether it was in the Bill and Ted movies or in Dogma or something like that, a complete performer.
Yeah.
And it never really given credit for it. Wrote some of the better bits, comedy bits in all of all time.
Mm-hmm.
God, do I love George Carlin. I miss him. And very fortunate. One of the greatest things I'll ever see live is with my sister getting to see him in Point.
That's absolutely amazing.
It was really cool.
I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
One of the greatest actors of all time, Katharine Hepburn, born in this day in 1907, passed away in 2003.
She was? She was one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
There is... you know you're good when both Seth and I right now are scrambling in our brain. What movie do we mention?
I know.
There's so many. There's so many movies we could mention. And we've already gone too long in the segment.
With a career that went 50 years. I mean, like another movie we mentioned recently, Murder on the Orient Express. God, she's good in that. I mean...
Philadelphia Story. Yeah. But honestly, African Queen. My Nana was a big, big, big Humphrey Bogart fan.
She didn't do much. That just the pairing of those two for that one movie.
It's just the pairing.
And their chemistry, even though I don't think they liked each other very much, they did a fantastic job in that film.
It's not it's by far and away not her greatest performance.
No.
In fact, as hard as this is to say, I think she might have saved her best performance for last
mm-hmm.
on Golden Pond.
Yeah.
As an actor, as somebody who started out so young and
she was.
In the industry, and how much emphasis was put on looks and appearance, and the second you get a wrinkle, you're done. Get out of here. And then she comes out, and you don't see her for all those years, and she's in there in Golden Pond, and there isn't the makeup. They're not editing it so you don't see her shaking as much or any of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is her, and she gives you the performance of I get emotional thinking about it.
Of a lifetime. I mean, it was like the culmination of of her whole career. And we also have to remember how spunky, that's a terrible word to use, but how she didn't take crap from nobody.
Nope.
No, it's studios, producers. She was her own person, and she plowed her own way, which is just remarkable considering she was a woman and when she started. It's just amazing.
Along with her sister and Carol Burnett, Lucille Ball,
yep.
And a number of actresses, but only a couple, really paved the way for where yep. we are now, with where we're starting to get equal pay. Absolutely. And some of those things. Incredible talent. And everybody celebrating a birthday anniversary out there, we wish you a great one. Enjoy, yes. And I can't think of a better way to enjoy than making plans tomorrow to head to El Cafe.
Woo!
We'll be back after a break. Talking about Isaac Hayes earlier got me.
Got to throw some on there.
Yeah. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good Monday out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate everybody who normally listens to us on the FM, streaming us right now or something like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for doing that, everybody.
Yes.
We appreciate it. We'll be back up and running hopefully tomorrow.
Yep.
Things should be good.
Everything should be all right.
We got an interesting one here, Seth. So a baseball signed by the late Pope Francis is going up for auction.
Oh.
Where it's expected to command up to 15 G's.
Whoa!
He signed it. He signed it, Francisco. And I love that.
That's great. Yeah.
There's the ball.
Oh,
itself.
Look at that. Oh,
it's very
man.
Simple.
How did he write so small? That's tiny writing. Wow, he wrote that really small.
Have you ever written on a baseball?
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
It's really hard.
It is.
I have tried before, that. Yes. Yeah.
I was fortunate some years back to throw out a first pitch for the Rafters, mm-hmm. and I think some listeners were just having some fun asking me to sign like a couple of baseballs and stuff. I don't think they actually meant it. I'm pretty sure those balls were used immediately after to just play catch or something.
Yeah, right.
But I'd never done anything like that, and I was blown away by how difficult of a time I was happening.
It's a skill that you have to learn how to do.
Also, I'm horrible at that. Like, not just because my signature's bad, but yeah. Everybody in history that's ever done that, oh, you want an autograph? Boom, boom. There it is.
Yep.
I'm sitting there like, okay, this has got to look good. People are going to keep this. I got to make my signature look good here. I don't want a big Jane. Yeah. Oh, God, I messed up. Do they? Don't look like you messed it up. Just keep going. I don't think that letter is in your name. No. Oh, God, you misspelled your own name. Just keep smiling. Just hand them it to...
They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, there's a reason. I just would be bad at that. Apparently, a collector in New York spent years trying to get Pope Francis to sign a baseball, and somehow it happened. And
wow.
Now he's willing to part with it, though. Okay. Maybe maybe it'll fetch more than 15K. Who knows? Popes don't usually go around signing autographs, especially on baseballs. So this is probably one of the rarest pieces of memorabilia
That's
you're
going
to find.
Yeah.
But it might not be in the future. The new American Pope, Pope Leo, is from Chicago. I don't know if anybody's heard that yet or not.
We mention he's from Chicago?
And he's a big White Sox fan. That's right. He's one of ours, everybody. He's not just a Midwesterner, but he's a Southsider.
That's really cool. I'm glad that was corrected, by the way.
Yes, right away.
Right away by his brother, yeah.
And anybody that was surprised by that has never spent 5 minutes in Chicago. Because immediately, I can't prove that it was him, but as soon as he might have overheard somebody say him a Cub fan, like, no, you get out there and correct that. And before he could do that, his brother, his family was out there making like, darn sure.
Don't you dare say that, right?
Everybody knows what team I root for.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And it wasn't because anybody asked me. I just volunteer that information. It goes back to my oldest joke, and I can say this one. You want to know how you can tell somebody's Italian? Wait a minute. We'll tell you. It won't take us long. It'll come up in the conversation. We can't help ourselves.
Yeah, family from Italy, you know. So yeah, I got to...
I was just asking what time it is.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, that's us. Speaking of the new Pope, the Portillo's chain is paying tribute to Pope Leo with a limited time sandwich. It's Italian beef dipped in gravy and topped with a choice of sweet peppers, giardina, or both.
Oh, sounds pretty good.
This, much like us, the Cubs or White Sox thing, mm-hmm. is a big divider in Illinois. Notice I said Illinois, not Chicago.
Not just this Chicago.
Bleeds into the whole
the
state.
The whole state.
Portillo's is very similar to Culver's here,
yep.
for those that don't know. It is a lifetime chain. I love mm-hmm. Portillo's. It's my favorite fast food place ever. And it's because of their Italian beef, which is amazing.
Very famous for that, yeah.
In my family, and I thought it was just my family, but this is throughout the whole state, as I said, there is there are people that it has to be dipped in the au jus, mm-hmm. and people were not. I am in a knot. I've had it dipped in the au jus, but I like to taste the meat more and
more the clean taste, yeah.
I don't think it's bad that way, yeah. But to each their own. But this is such a divider. So apparently this Pope likes it dipped in, and that's why, and Portillo's found that out, and that's why they went with it.
That makes sense.
And everything. But I think that's kind of interesting. And a great idea. Well done by Portillo's. Way to take the moment on this
good
and everything.
Good stuff, yeah. It's smart. Smart marketing right there.
As a side note, everybody, that is the true Italian, quintessential Chicago meal, Italian beef. Not deep dish pizza, which is soup trying to pretend it's pizza.
Right. I guess you could say that the Chicago style hot dog might be a second on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you're right. The Italian beef is quintessential Chicago. Yeah.
If somebody tells you that the meal of Chicago is deep dish pizza, they are not from Chicago. They are probably from a suburb outside of Chicago. Maybe, but I don't even know if they're from Illinois.
They're from Indiana. They're across the border there.
Harry Styles was reportedly seen in Rome for the new Pope announcement the previous week, okay. And that was making the rounds. So all of this is just interesting conversation and right. all that, I think. But there is one kind of thing that I have heard a little bit of rumblings about, and I actually got into a deep conversation about religion with my dad about this.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, usually my whole life, it's my mother or my grandmother's or somebody right. like that. My father and I have talked about faith, but not that much.
Yeah.
We're too busy talking baseball and everything, but... We were talking about all of this with the White Sox Cub things because his family and him, and he's a Cub fan and all that.
Right.
And we were having some jokes about, Dad, I got one, and all this, and back and forth about yep. that. And him immediately telling me, Jimmy, it's not going to help him at all. Like deadpan.
There's no way to measure this, but I can almost guarantee that no fan has prayed more than Cubs fans.
Yeah, yeah.
They have prayed more than any other fans in the world.
Well said. one of the things that came up was, is some of this, not pandering, but is some of this to try to recruit, the quote-unquote recruit, and to get people to the Catholic Church, which has
right.
lost members since we were kids. We've been hearing about yep. the Catholic Church losing members and
yes,
everything.
That is correct.
And since we were kids, we've seen much more of Pope interviews and some of these things, mm-hmm. where the Pope has become much more accessible.
Right.
And is this a good or a bad thing and stuff? And my dad and I came to the conversation about this because we are, of course, the deciders on this. No, we just in the conversation.
It's a conversation.
Just having the talk about it and everything certainly the positives of it and everything and bringing almost a face to the Catholic Church, the mascot of the Catholic Church, if you will, in some ways. To put it lightly, obviously, mm-hmm. and with no disrespect, but just kind of trying to mm-hmm. get the conversation moving here. There's no, to me, I don't see a downside to that. Of making something seem more human, of making yeah. something seem more, not you have to be of this certain standard to be able right. to be in this or whatever, like
yeah.
the humanizing mm-hmm. of a faith. It's an interesting conversation to me.
Yeah.
I don't think any one of us, I don't care if you're a scholar of letters and everything and you've mm-hmm. studied religion for 20, 30 years, I don't think any of us have the ability to be able to say, this is for fact or
right.
this,
no.
is, can, this
no.
is for sure. Mm-hmm. Faith is a personal, case-by-case basis,
absolutely.
And a personal thing.
Absolutely.
But I, to me, as somebody who comes to this, could not be more of a third person on this mm-hmm. stuff. I grew up with faith, know the world's religions better than most, but I don't have a certain faith.
Right.
Being a Jew is a creed. It's not something I chose. It's something right. that's in my DNA.
Right.
When I see this stuff and I see these things, it brings me to this. It makes me want to not learn more about Catholicism. I already know quite a bit about Catholicism.
Sure.
It makes me have more empathy and understanding for it, where my brain doesn't work that way. My brain doesn't understand faith that well.
Right.
There's no logic behind it. So how can I get to it and everything? The Pope Francis, this Pope Leo, some of these things bring me to that a little bit more. I don't think this is, when they bring the conclave together and they roll out the first Latin American pope, the first Jesuit pope, the next very next one is the first American pope or mm-hmm. some of these things. Some of this can seem pandering. Some of this can seem certain ways to people, I think. I think the exact opposite. I think that this conclave, hopefully, realizing we got a whole group of people we have not been addressing.
Right.
We got a whole, like, that this has been going on this long, and this is the first time we're having firsts.
Right.
You know, you would think by this point, this isn't the first time for anything with this, with this role or anything. I don't see a downside to any of this, whether it's pandering or it is just out of, you know, hey, this was the right guy for the job.
Right. It's such an interesting position, the pontiff. You know, you're the head, but you're also the public relations. I mean, you have so many hats, speaking of which, even though it's a really one hat, really. It's really cool, though. I like the Pope hat. Yes.
Magnificent hat.
But I don't think, I'm sure some of that came into it, you know, kind of thinking, well, where are we headed as a organization, that sort of thing. What are we looking for? I honestly believe that most of the Cardinals, when they're making this vote, they would try to, consider, prayerfully, because of, it's a religion, to figure out who is the best person for the job in all the different things, who is the faithful, who is the one that we believe is the wise, do they have the wisdom to do this? Do they have people skills? Can they talk on camera? Can they reach people? That's another important part of it. But I don't think they do it just for one thing or another. That's pretty cynical. I don't think these are cynical people. I think they're trying to be faithful. They're trying to find the best person for the job and all of the very, very varied roles that they have to fill as the Pope.
I do like the idea of expanding this position in some ways and bringing in different voices and different people from different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And I wish this Pope a good 100-year run, whoever the next one is after him. I hope they can keep that going. I hope that they're able to do that. And I think it's very, for a day and age where it's so easy, every one of us live in a bubble. And I talk a lot about that, and it's in breaking out of that bubble the best we can, whenever we can.
Right.
It feels like that to me, like they weren't living in a bubble on this, and they saw that.
And it's nice to see that they're willing to at least embrace some sort of change too, because they realize that they have to, and that's something that's very important as well.
Taking a time out, we'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. We'll take you to the top of the hour. Kick off the 10 o'clock hour the way we like to on Mondays. We got a Kitchens Open segment, Best Of.
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to listening to that a little bit later. We'll have some other great stuff for you in the 10 o'clock hour as well. We've got some entertainment news. We'll talk Jackie Chan, Yacht Rock, and the new additions to the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Ooh, very excited. Very excited about that.
All that coming up. And we'll wrap up the 10 o'clock hour with the top questions kids are Googling about adults. That's radio version. We'll get
into that. I love that.
But as my nose would tell you, it is allergy month.
Ooh, yes, it is.
Went my whole life not being allergic and not dealing with that stuff. And man,
when you change, man, when you get older, these things pop up.
That ain't right. They don't tell you about that. They don't tell you that when you're in grade school.
By the way, you're going to have allergies now.
Yeah. Ugh. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation ranked the top 100 cities in America based on how much coughing, sneezing, and wheezing they do.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst city for allergies is Wichita, Kansas.
Not a surprise.
Nope.
Not in the least.
Right in the middle of everything. Yes. Not to mention all the agriculture and all the hay and some of the things that they have down there and stuff.
There's no surprise there. Yes.
But it geographically makes sense too, just with where they are in the country and how much of this, the rest of the East, West, South, North, Midwest connect into that.
Yeah.
The rest of the list, New Orleans.
Oh,
yeah, didn't see
that's
that
interesting.
One.
Yeah,
now, that one is completely surprising.
Yes.
Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Memphis, Little Rock, Arkansas, Raleigh, North Carolina. God, I love saying Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh.
I would move to Raleigh, North Carolina just so I could. Where are you from? Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Oh, I love saying it. Richmond, Virginia, Greenville, South Carolina, and Greensboro, North Carolina.
So
North Carolina.
There's like a strip across the country in that one thing. So that's got to have something to do with it.
Yeah. I'd love to look more into that.
The geography must play a role.
At the other end of the list, the best cities for allergies is Boston.
Okay.
Pollen counts are typically lower, and it's fairly easy to see a doctor.
Okay. Well, that's part of it? Oh, I didn't know that was a criteria.
I feel like they should have added that earlier.
Yeah, right.
The 10 best cities for allergies. These are the best.
Okay.
Boston, Salt Lake City, Akron, Ohio, San Diego, Cleveland, Boise, Provo, Provo, Utah.
Okay.
Ogden, Utah. Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And Madison, Wisconsin.
Really?
Hmm.
Now, I wonder, well, that's interesting. That seems kind of weird. Some of these I can understand. The mountains. Utah, Colorado, totally makes sense. Maybe it's because the elevation is higher and pollen doesn't go up that high. I mean, I have no idea. I'm
just, oh, yeah. No,
just a speculation on my part. But some of the other ones, I guess San Diego makes sense. It's on the ocean, you know, that kind of thing. So, but was really Madison? I'm not sure about that one.
The little bit, because I'm very late to the party on this one because mm-hmm. I didn't get allergies until late in life and I didn't even know I had them. And I still do. To be fair, I haven't taken like an allergy test or anything like that. I just know that I can't breathe.
Certain things during certain times of year, kind of, you know, you got an inkling about what's going on.
Did the old nose test. And, oh, yeah, I can't breathe through my nose. Breathe. Feels like something's up. Something's
my
happening
eyes keep
here.
Watering. I don't understand.
But the little bit I did, mountains are almost a air filter.
Yeah.
And that has a little bit. So
that's got to have something
there,
to do with the elevation. Yeah.
I just remember reading that and then seeing this list here that kind of ties together pretty well. So that, you know, and as far as the worst places in so many of the Carolinas mm-hmm. and like you're saying that area, I don't know why it's so bad.
Again,
over there.
I wonder if there's like a jet stream thing there that just pushes everything into that strip of land as you go towards the East Coast kind of thing. I don't know. I'd be curious to find out, though. That would be really interesting.
Yeah. Very interested in that one. Mm-hmm. Very interested in Raptors baseball, Seth.
I am very interested in Raptors baseball.
We, of course, are the home of the Raptors, as we have been since the first pitch they
the
threw over there.
The inception of the
field.
Team, yes.
We're very excited about that. I, this morning, was talking with assistant GM over there, Jake Adams. Mm-hmm. Jake and I are working out some scheduling stuff because we want to not only do Meet Your Raptors and bring in Coach Ziggy and all that, but we got some fun stuff we're going to be doing with them promotion-wise.
Yeah.
And want to wish a happy first day to a lot of the interns over there.
Oh, they're starting today. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Got a bunch of interns showing up to Winterfield to help us out throughout the summer.
Yeah. Good luck, you guys. Enjoy. Yeah.
And to all you interns out there, and we're going to be able to talk to them. They're going to stop by the studios here at some point. We're going to work that out. I will tell each one of them that whether it's Andy Francis or it is Jake himself or mm-hmm. any of these others, so many of the people that would go on to be assistant GMs or like Andy Francis is right now a GM. AAA and
in a minor league team, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doing that. You know, you never know where an internship can start out.
Maybe we'll see Andy in the big leagues someday. You never know.
Yep. You know, there's a lot to be said with that. We're really excited about it and could not be more excited for opening day, May 26th. Get your oars ready, everybody. You got, while there are some things that you've come to know and love about the Raptors, there's some fun, exciting new stuff going on.
Some of the promotions this year are just fabulous.
And like anything good, it starts at the top with ownership mm-hmm. and that front office that are really young and hungry, along with this coaching staff and Coach Ziggy, who has just got an attitude that he's bringing to the ballpark with him that we are going to enjoy. You're going to love around here, everybody. Yes. I am so excited for. I've never been more excited for a Raptor season.
It's going to be. This
I realized
is gonna
that
be
the other day.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
I couldn't even put my finger exactly on why. Just very excited for Raptor season. May 26th. Get your tickets at NorthwoodsLeague.com. And of course, every hit, every pitch, every win of Raptor baseball right here where it belongs.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming.